The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
This summer, your clergy have been pondering together the questions that make up why church? Why invite people here? Why serve each other and our community here? Why come together here for worship? And curious church nerd that I am grateful for how you have brought your own heartfelt questions alongside these as we sketch out answers to these big questions. And today we will wonder, why do we lift our voices together to God in petition, in lament, in familiar words repeated? Why do we speak aloud the names of people, places, and situations that need more than we can give? Why, church family, do we pray? Today we turn to the help of the Psalms in our seeking. A collection of prayers written as poetry, the Psalter was meant to be sung by many voices, perhaps in call and response, written to share aloud in community, written to be memorized, textured and taught across the span of lifetimes, written to be words when we have no words left. God, I give thanks for the Psalms. So join me in prayer as we tune our hearts to hear these ancient words. Holy One, be prayer with us today. Be present, be bold, be known in your spirit, be among us as we seek you, O God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture today comes to us from Psalm 146, and it begins, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. The Lord upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked, the Lord brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, friends, why pray? What does it look like, sound like, mean to pray? How have the ancestors of our faith prayed, and what does our scripture teach us through those prayers? Yes, these are just a few of the possibilities in this big question, why pray? And I know that each one of you holds your own answer. I again invite you to find some way to share your answer with me this week. Maybe it's sending me an email or catching me at coffee hour, because I'd like to know how you answer this question too. For even the least religious among us might have an answer to this, might reach for a prayer of grace at the table, or call on God's mercy and providence for that game-winning shot. My sister Hannah, who does not go to church unless it's to see me up here, she frequently texts me to ask me to pray for her, but for her lottery tickets, or sometimes even a hard-to-find parking spot. So yes, some of us are praying to flip the odds in our favor, but I always say yes to these prayers because I know maybe this will be a gateway prayer for her someday, on another day when the request feels harder to say out loud. For in this psalm we read today, we hear a sung call to tend to those in need of physical healing, to bring freedom from captivity or capture, to correct those who abuse earthly power. These are hard requests, deeply felt requests. So many reasons for calling God's attention, for drawing the listening ear of God. And I wonder if you recognized a prayer you've prayed in this list. Maybe one you've asked on behalf of a neighbor, a longing given shape, a deep heart's call. Perhaps then it is a relief to hear it echoed in the psalmist's poetry today, to know these prayers are here as resources for us, as ancient evidence that God's people have been here before, praising God's actions on our behalf. There are 150 psalms in our Hebrew Bible canon, and they were created to be sung together, recited to music, just as much of the current services of our Jewish siblings are. And we will say a portion in unison later in this service to share in its recitation and help it to get into our bodies, into our hearts. Anne Lamott, who is a renowned author of modern spirituality, says the three most essential prayers we need in our lives are help, thanks, and wow. And we hear these three prayers echo throughout the Psalms as they call on God's help from the depths of lament, or a grateful witness when God's provision comes to pass, or even those that praise the goodness of God, the miracles of God's working in our world. Help, thanks, wow. The theologian and Hebrew Bible scholar Walter Brueggemann characterizes the Psalms into three other groups: Psalms of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. They serve as measures for the rhythms of our lives, how we pray when we have a lot to be grateful for, or how we lament and rage and try to pray when we find ourselves in what Brueggemann calls the pit of our lives. And then prayers that help describe how we've been put back together after God's presence and love reorients our lives. For these psalms of reorientation are not just simple hymns of praise, though praise does run through Psalm 146. These prayers cry out, "Isn't God good?" only with the hard-won knowledge of needing God to be what God promises, and knowing what it feels like when it comes to pass. The Lord watches over the strangers. The Lord upholds the orphan and the widow. We define how near God can be to us now in prayer against exactly how far we felt from God before. Exactly how specifically we can fill in the categories of this psalm with names and faces and lamentations. For today's psalm shows us a reorientation, a turning from longing or fear, a witness to the goodness of God. Brueggemann says these psalms speak of surprise and wonder, miracle and amazement, when a new orientation has been granted to those disoriented, for those where there was no ground for expectation. In prayer, we ask for help, even when we don't know what help might look like or when help might come. We pray because it gives us something to do when doing feels impossible. This psalm is a reminder of the bigness of God. It tells us this response of God, this showing up of God in our lives, this is not exceptional. It is the conduct and character of our God. Pray, this psalm says, with expectation. Pray by beginning in praise for what God has not yet done. This psalm turns our attention from whatever we are holding to the power of creation. The Lord our God, who made heaven and earth, who made the sea and all that is in them, keeps the faith forever. This psalm reminds us we are one tiny part of the universe that makes up God's creation. And then the psalmist turns from the past of that goodness of God to the present tense of what God does now. God executes justice for the oppressed, gives food for the hungry, sets free the prisoner. This litany of verbs is not a conditional tense. It's not what God will do. It's not God promising to do. It's not an if this, then that kind of prayer. No, this prayer praises God for what God is already doing now. It is continual, unending, beyond our lifetime, for all generations. It's not just that continual action, but specific, named action, showing us the breadth of God's concern for us, the leaning close God does for us in prayer. We are told in this psalm not to trust in princes who have been given mortal power, who have fallen short of the expectation to do those things, to execute justice for the oppressed, to give food to the hungry, indeed to serve the least among us. So this prayer, too, is a reminder of the model of God's care for all, an invitation to lean on God's vision of justice when we're faced with the litany of hurts and warring conflicts in our world. Many of you know my first career was in education, that I felt called first to be a teacher, compelled by the meaningful lever of education to change inequities for children across race and class. And I did that work with a lot of love for many years. But I am here before you now as your pastor, preaching in this beautiful sanctuary because of the enormity of the interlocking issues that we face in our world. I felt the desire and the need to respond to God's vision of justice with the help of that vision itself, turning to God to point the way of where can we show up in the world to be answered prayers for each other. To acknowledge through prayer and humility and through joint community action that there are issues bigger than just one person can change. Maybe some of you are here, maybe some of you pray in admission of this powerlessness too. Trusting that not just by my hands alone, not just by my will alone, or skill alone, but yours, O God. For it is the Lord who keeps the faith forever, who holds us accountable to act on this vision. Food for the hungry, provision for the widow and the orphan, for those without community power. The psalmist calls us to focus on what will endure past our hungers, past the phases in our lives where we are stranger to ourselves or our community, and invites us to turn with humility to our listening God. As individuals facing any sleepless night can say, God, I just don't have it today. I'm out of solutions and I'm not sure from where my help will come or what it will even look like, but help. and thanks in the hope that we can someday also say, wow. In prayer, we point directly and specifically to where the need tears at us, where we most need the healing power of a God who serves the lowly and the least. And these ancient words remind us that the naming of the hurt, the surrendering of our need for help to the one who covers us, is part of the solution. That the asking is part of the receiving. That the stilling focus of paying attention to where it hurts, to where the help must come, that this too gives us clarity. And in this world where we can ask the device in our pocket for the answer to many of life's questions and get it very quickly, in prayer we practice being comfortable with unknowing, being comfortable with the unknown. We are given in prayer words to say in the waiting, action when we cannot yet act. It is the next step when we can't see the way forward. It's the admission we are beyond our depth, that we don't have the power to do it alone. And it's the hope that we won't have to. In my final year of seminary, I served as an intern, as a chaplain intern at Yale New Haven Hospital. And I would often get requests to pray with patients on visits with them. And so I kept a little short list of psalms in my pocket that I could read on these visits. And one day, nearing the middle of a very hectic 24-hour shift, I met with an elderly woman who was in a lot of pain. She asked me to read Psalm 23 to her. And though she could not keep her eyes open, she mouthed the words along with me. She knew every word. The psalm was written on her heart, memorized to the point that she didn't need me to read it to her to follow along. She knew the words, but she needed to not say it alone. You are here, whether you are joining together with us online or here in this sanctuary, you are here not saying it alone. Learning the words that will live on your heart, meeting the folks that you can call on to read a psalm with you, to pray with you. It changes us, this praying together. It's why we pray together on Zoom after each sermon discussion on Sunday. It's why we say God hears the prayers that are spoken and even those left unsaid. It's why we have a deacon each Sunday stationed here, wearing a white stole, ready to pray with you if you need it. And because we are worshiping in the style of chapel church this morning, I will soon invite you to take up that little paper square you found in your bulletin and to write here with the little pencil in your pew a request for God's tender listening, a place where you need God's presence to come into focus. And we'll do that together. And because it is summer, and because this church supports your pastors to take time away to restore, I got to reflect on this scripture and this question with a group of dear friends on a camping trip last week. And around campfires and in canoes and on portage trails, I asked them, why pray? And other good questions like when pray and what is prayer and who prays? And throughout the week together, we kept saying, oh, maybe this is prayer. Maybe this is prayer, sitting around a campfire, sharing the stuff of our lives. Maybe this is prayer, taking more weight so a friend can rest their ankle. Maybe this is prayer as we share gratitude for this beautiful wild place. So too, may we pray through our lives, moved, delighted, surprised enough to say, oh, maybe this is prayer. Coming back to the well-worn words of a beloved psalm, let us be moved to praise. Let us lament with the courage of honesty. Let us turn to each other and say, oh, yes, my friend, this is why we pray. Friends, as you go forth from this place, do so knowing that you are seen, you are known, and you are loved by the people of this community and by our loving God. And may God go before you, may God shine God's face upon you, and may God grant you peace. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.